Much as possible, we kneel with me for open prayer. Oh God, the Eternal Father, we come before you at the end of our day. Father, I thank you for the opportunity you had to come and to worship you today and come out of the world. I pray you will be with those that are traveling this day. Watch over and protect them. Be with our loved ones in the missionary field. Guide and direct them. Strengthen them that they may be able to carry on the work you have set before them. Be with the many sick and afflicted, and those who have asked for interest in our prayers, I pray thee. Also, Lord, at this time, I pray you'll be with our speaker of the hour, that you'll give him freedom of thought and mind and of word to carry the message you have given him to us, and we apply it to our lives. Guide and direct us, I pray, in all things, and this I ask, Lord, in thy son's name, in Jesus Christ. Amen. This time I'd like to read for you the announcements for the coming week. There'll be a worship service here. It's Wednesday, 7 p.m. as usual. Next Sunday at 9:45 will be a Sunday school. I guess Brian will be wrapping up his class on the rapture. At 11 o'clock will be a preaching service. Brother Brian McIndoe will be the speaker. At 3:30 will be choir. 5:30 will be song service, and at 6 o'clock it will be preaching service, and I will be your speaker. Now we will be blessed with a special.
to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died and gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there is no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Thank you very much for the special. This time, I'd like to present our brother to you, our brother Ken. I know he's prepared a message for us. I pray that we can apply it. Our brother Ken, the speaker of the hour.
Thank you, Jim. Every time I hear that song that Erica just sang, my thought goes to the restoration of the gospel. If there wasn't this country, if there wasn't this nation, we would not have a restoration. Even though I'm a transplanted American, I'm thankful. I'm very thankful that we have this land of freedom, that we have this land that we can worship God as He directs us, and that He brought this nation into being, that we can have this gospel, to have the hope of salvation that He has given us. As I was up early this morning and contemplating this evening's service, the Lord directed me to several scriptures. Sometimes in life, we have burdens. We have trials, we have tribulations. We feel that the world is sometimes caving in on us. I think we've all gone through periods in our life like that. Maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe years. I was listening to the testimonies in our service this morning, and one of the testimonies, she testified that it was a long time. She found a new job, and it seemed like a long time to her, you know. She'd been praying about it and waiting. Sometimes the Lord makes us wait. Sometimes the Lord, in His wisdom, sees fit to make us wait. We may have goals. We may have things that we want to accomplish. We may have direction. We may even have the Lord's direction. But sometimes the Lord wants us to wait to fulfill His direction. We may have a goal. And it may be the Lord's goal in our life, but maybe we're trying to accomplish it the wrong way. And the Lord has to close some doors and open others. Sometimes we have to have patience. Have to endure those temptations, those trials that we have in life. Sometimes when we have the tendency, when we have a trial, when we have a serious affliction, we kind of throw up our hands sometimes and say, woe is me. Or why do I have to wait so long? Or why isn't the Lord answering my prayer? Why isn't the Lord directing me? Could be several reasons, and I'm not going to go into those tonight, but there could be several reasons. Maybe there's something that we need to learn. Maybe there's a different direction that He wants us to go in. Maybe there's something that is in our life that He has to temper. Perhaps we have to have patience before the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, I'm going to begin at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's where we are today. We have this lively hope because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Because He walked this earth and He gave us this gospel, He gave us hope. Many scriptures tell us that there's no other name and no other way under heaven whereby we can gain salvation except through Jesus Christ. So Christ came and He died for us and He gave us this hope that we have in the gospel. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the end of our hope. Inheritance, incorruptible, will never pass away, it will never decay, it will never diminish. Undefiled. You know, the Lord said that nothing unclean would enter His kingdom. Only purity and righteousness will dwell with us for eternity. Which means that we have to strive daily to be pure and righteous in the sight of God. Only through Jesus Christ can we hope to be that pure and righteous vessel that can inherit this incorruptible inheritance. It fadeth not away. It'll never fade away. It'll always be. It's going to be there for eternity. It's been there from eternity and will be there to eternity. And it's reserved in heaven for you. There's a place reserved for you and I in this heavenly kingdom. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's the power of God that keeps us, that protects us. Ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, there's a spiritual battle going on for our souls 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It never stops. It never stops. And the only thing that protects us from the power of Satan is the power of the Spirit of God. That's our protection. That's our bulwark. That's our... It's the only thing that lies between us and Satan is God's power. And our own strength. In our own strength, we cannot resist. We cannot overcome. We cannot withstand. We'd be overwhelmed. It is by the power of God, which makes it so imperative that we do everything that we can to have that power of God in our lives, to help us overcome the temptations, the trials, the tribulations, to overcome the wiles of Satan, and to walk in that path that God has set before us in a way that can lead to eternal life. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. For a season, sometimes in our lives, from time to time, for a season, we're in heaviness, we're in trial, we're in sadness. Through temptations, through trials in our lives, through, it's just not fitting, it's just not working. The times that we grow the most is when we go through trials. When we go through adversity, when we go through these temptations that are before us and we persevere, we grow. When things are going well, when everything is falling into place, sometimes we become complacent. We take it for granted. Sometimes we take this gospel for granted. We take this Church of Christ for granted. We take this nation for granted. And then comes along temptation or trials in our lives, things that make us stop and look at what we have. You know, in the song that Erica sang, you know, it says, we remember those that died to make us free. Words to that effect. We remember in the gospel of Christ who died to make us free. Make us free from sin, to make us free from this world, to give us the hope of eternal life. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in our trials, even in our temptations, even in the tribulations of life, we love Christ. Though we have not seen Him, we believe. Though we have not seen Him, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, Marlene and I lost our daughter. I've told this story before, but to me it was one of the major things in my life that cemented my faith. You know, you read about other people losing loved ones and you and your heart goes out to them, but until it happens, until someone so precious and so young and so innocent is taken suddenly, and you know that death is final, there's no coming back. You can't go and bring her back. It's final. And the sorrow and the sadness and despair. And in my despair, I went to God and I told Him, I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. The Spirit of God came over me and gave me a peace that I will never, ever forget. Oh, my heart was still sad, but I knew I would make it. The peace of God rested upon me. And in that trial, He walked with me every moment of that trial. And I grew. And I grew and I grew from that. I walked through a season of trial. And I grew. We grow in our seasons of trial and in our seasons of despair if we turn to the one who can lift us up. You know, I could have went and I could have just threw everything away and walked in my despair. Turned my back on God and blamed Him and questioned Him. Could have said, woe is me and why me? Why did it happen to me? Sometimes we do that. But when we turn to God and say, I trust You. I rejoice in You. I have faith in You. And I know that this trial will be for my benefit. And that's why, we're going to read a scripture later, but that's why God chastens His people. Because He loves us. Because He loves us. And He wants to temper us. He wants to perfect us. He wants to purify us. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's the bottom line. This world really doesn't matter. The things that happen here really don't matter. You know, we have trials, we have tribulations, we have pain, we have sorrow. We have to wait. But does it really matter? No. What matters is that we endure. What matters is that we come through this trial, that we come through our temptation, and that we gain salvation. That's the bottom line. This world passes away quickly. Passes away quickly. Ask our sister Meredith how quickly this life passes away. And the closer you get to the end of it, the quicker it seems to pass away. These young children, Nathan doesn't, he hasn't got a clue. Hasn't got a clue how quick this life is going to pass. But when it's all said and done, it's quick. And it matters not. The only thing that matters is that we're prepared to meet God. That we can gain salvation. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to begin at the third verse. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation, a trial. A burden of the Spirit. Tribulation, something that weighs us down, something that's heavy, something that's hard to bear. Paul says we glory in those tribulations. Because those tribulations work patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Patience, endurance. Patiently waiting. We wait. We're waiting for what? For God to answer. For God to show His hand, to show His will. Tribulation works experience. It gives us experience, experience in life, and how to handle trials and how to handle problems. It's what we gain from these tribulations, from these trials. These experiences of life that we can pass on, that we can use to make decisions. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have that power of the Holy Spirit that's in us to help us through these trials and these tribulations and these things that cause us to have despair. Probably every one of us here can think of at least one time in our lives when we were brought right to the brink. Almost to the brink. No place else to turn. Nowhere else to go. What do we do? And all of a sudden the answer is there. All of a sudden the way is opened. All of a sudden the door appears. I think we can all give a testimony of something like that happening in our lives when all seems hopeless, when all seems like it's never going to work. And then all of a sudden, there it is. God brings us to the brink for what reason? So we do not glory in our wisdom, in our strength, but we have to turn and glory in God. Because God was the only one that did it. We didn't do it. It wasn't our wisdom. It wasn't our wealth. It wasn't our strength. It was God. He brings us to the brink. So don't despair. Don't despair if you're brought to the brink, because God will never leave you. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly to give us hope of eternal life, to give us a hope of this life. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, isn't that a true statement? Aren't we so easily beset by sin? I'm reminded of Nephi. When he cried unto the Lord, he said, why? When I've had all these things, you know, he carried away in the Spirit. The Lord talked to him. Great and mighty and marvelous works were wrought by his hand. He was showing marvelous things, so great that he couldn't even tell them. He couldn't write them. And then he says, but why am I so easily beset by sin? Why do I get angry? We are beset by sin. We're weighed down by sin sometimes. We're weighed down by the trials and the tribulations of life, by the cares of this life. We're weighed down. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We can't quit. We can't give up. We have to endure. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He had to endure the cross to gain the glory that God his Father had for him. There was no other way that he could gain that glory. If he had chosen not to do it, he wouldn't be our Savior. We too have to endure the crosses that are set before us to gain the joy of eternal life. God never promised that this life would be easy. He never promised us that it would be a bed of roses. But He did promise that He'd be with us. He did promise that if we endure the cross, if we endure this life, that we could have that joy that is unspeakable. The joy that is unspeakable, that's reserved in the eternal heaven for you and I. This life will be a memory. It will be as the flower of the field, and today it blooms and it's gone. That's our life. We're here for a season and we're gone. We came with nothing. We leave with nothing material. The only thing that we leave with is our life. The things that we did, the things that we said, how we reacted to our adversity, how we reacted to trials, how we reacted to the temptations that are before us. It's all we can take. We take our life. We take our soul. And written on our life and written on our soul is what we did in this life. For God to see and for us to see. Endure the crosses of this world. Endure the trials. Endure the tribulations. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ despised the shame of it. The shame that started in the garden before Pilate dragging the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. Wearing a crown of thorns, beaten, hung on the cross. Oh, the shame of it. But he endured. He endured that cross as... And you know, it's an example to us. An example of endurance that you have to go all the way. No halfway measures. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Christ, who endured the cross, who endured the false accusations. Consider him, lest you become weary. Lest you faint along the way. Christ is our focus. He endured the cross. He gave His life. He was not weary. He did not faint. We have to consider that. He says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." We haven't given our life striving against sin. We haven't paid the ultimate sacrifice. Christ, sinless, paid the ultimate sacrifice, gave His life for you and I. If He hadn't, there'd be no hope. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him for whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourges every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? A parent, we chastise our children for what purpose? To correct them. Why does God chastise us? To correct us. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us with their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. We don't like it. Who is it? Who here said, chastise me? You know, put these things on me. Put these burdens on me. We don't want them. But it's grievous. It is. It's grievous. The burdens of life are grievous. The trials of life are heavy to bear. The temptations of life overwhelm us. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Luke chapter 8. Beginning at the 15th verse. Luke chapter 8, beginning at the 15th verse. Familiar parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. We've had that happen. We talk to people, they hear it, and they walk away. God, Satan has taken it out of their hearts. They don't want to hear it. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. People, they hear the word, and they know it's true. They embrace it. But then the trials and the tribulations of life come along and they can't stand. People mock them or make fun of them and they can't withstand. And they fall away. They have no root. That which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. The things of this world choke the Word of God that it bears no fruit. The cares and the concerns. Not to say that we aren't mindful of the cares and the concerns. We know we have to eat, we have to have shelter, we have to have clothes. Those are concerns, but when we're consumed by those cares, when those cares of life choke out the Word of God, when the cares of life take precedence over the Word of God and choke it out, we bring forth no fruit. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. There's that word patience again. With patience. Waiting. We bring forth fruit. I believe Matthew says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We each have different talents. We each bring forth different things, but we bring everything that we have, the best of our ability. I think I told this story before. There was a young man in college. He wasn't the fastest runner. He wasn't the strongest runner. He wasn't the biggest runner. But he loved to run. And he tried out for the college track and field. And he was just barely good enough to make the team. And each year he was just barely good enough. Never won, but he was there. And he worked hard. He since he wasn't the best, and he wasn't the fastest, and he wasn't stronger, he felt he had to work harder. And he went out there, and he ran extra laps, and he did everything he could to make the team, and he made it. In his senior year, after 3 years of practice and running, he was stronger, and he was faster, and he felt pretty good. They went to the state finals. And he felt he had a real chance of winning the race. And he was a starting block, and he looked to his right, and there was the state champion was next to him. And to his left was somebody else that was fast. But he had confidence. He had confidence. And the starting gun went off, and he was the first one out of the block. Down the track he went, and he was in the lead. All of a sudden, this guy on the right passed him, and the guy on the left, but he kept running. Ended up, he was last. He was last, and he felt really bad. He felt really bad. He felt he let his college down. He let his school down. And afterwards, the coach came to him, and he says, called him by name, and he said, the last 4 years, you've been an inspiration. You've been an inspiration to our team, to our school. You worked extra hard. You caused those on the team to try harder. And because of you, we did better than ever before. He didn't give up. When all these people passed him, he could have just quit. But he finished the race. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to finish the race. We're not always going to be the fastest. We're not going to be the best. We're not always going to be the strongest. But God wants us to finish. When there's adversity that comes, when the trials of life come, when those things that would make us want to quit come along, we have to endure. We have to work harder. We have to practice harder. We have to exercise our spiritual strength. So it doesn't matter if we're not the fastest. It doesn't matter if we're not the strongest or the smartest or the bravest. What matters is that we finish the race. That we do everything we can to finish that race. Do not let the trials and the temptations and the cares of this life choke the word. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at the third verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's that word patience again. We have to be patient in this life. We can't expect everything at once. You know, this generation that we live in, instant gratification. We want it now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. But we have to have patience. It's the same with material things as it is with spiritual things. Sometimes we have to wait. We have to wait. We have to be patient. Because God is working with us. He sees some things that He needs to change. He sees some qualities that He wants to perfect. We have to have patience. Allow God to do His work. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word perfect in this instance, I believe, means mature. That we may be mature. Spiritually mature. Complete. Wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth the almond liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to chastise us. He's not going to ridicule us. He's not going to say, how come you're so dumb? Why do you have to come to me with that? He's not going to say that. There's no dumb question. It shall be given him. If we go to God, he will give it to us. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We have to be firm and strong. We can't have one foot in the world and the other in the gospel. We can't go to God and say, oh, yeah, I believe, but he's not going to answer me this time. I don't know. I just, you know, we have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to know that God will hear us. Go, nothing doubting. Confident that God will hear us and that God will answer our prayer. It may take a week. It may take a month. It may take a year. It may take 10 years. But God will answer it. He will answer it. In His own due time, when it's best for us, when He has perfected you or me. When He's perfected us, when He's taken this flaw, perhaps it's a flaw that He sees in us, and when He has taken that flaw and got rid of it, when He has perfected us, when He has taken our hearts and our minds and molded us, then He will answer. Sometimes not unto them. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We have promises in the Scriptures that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? Partakers of the Spirit. That's the divine nature. That's how we know God. That's how we know His righteousness and His purity and His goodness. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world because we've given our lives to God. Doesn't mean we'll never be tempted, but we won't yield to that temptation. Because we're tempted because of our lust, whatever it is. You think about it. What tempts us? We're tempted because of the things that we want. That's what tempts us. If we don't want it, it's not going to tempt us. But if we want it, that's in our hearts. That's what tempts us. We like it. It's intriguing. It's exciting. It's, you know, we kind of drawn to the dark side sometimes, you know. But that's why we're tempted. That's how we're tempted, because we're drawn to it. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Stair steps to perfection. We go from faith to virtue to knowledge to temperance, patience, and godliness. Brotherly kindness, charity. If we go on, tell us if we have these things that we'll never fall. You know, we have a goal. We have a goal in life. And that goal is eternal life. Maybe we should modify that. It's eternal life with God. We're going to have eternal life. We don't have any choice about that. That's something we have no choice of. We're going to live for eternity. The only choice that we have is where we're going to spend it. That's our only choice. So we must be diligent in obtaining our goal. We have to be totally submissive to the will of God. In complete willingness to allow God to lead us. Total submissive. We have to be totally submissive to the will of God. Doesn't mean we're weak. Doesn't mean we're cowardly. Doesn't mean we don't have our own strength, our own wills. But we have to be submissive. We have to submit our will to the will of God. Totally submissive and willing to allow God to lead us. How many times have we said, God, direct me, lead me, show me, and then we go off and get in our car and go our own way? How many times have we done that? We're not willing to allow God to lead us. We have our own ideas, we have our own thoughts, we have our own direction. I'm going to do it. We're not willing to allow God. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And maybe the key to that verse is He cares for us. Cast your care upon Him. Cast your burdens. Cast your weight. The trials, the tribulations on Him. For He cares. He does care. We may think He doesn't sometimes, but He does. And He cares because He wants what's best for us. Not what we think is best, not what we want to do, but what is best for us. Humble ourselves. Be submissive. Be submissive and be willing to allow God to lead us. Do you ever stop and think? Here we are. Brothers and sisters in the gospel of Christ. Servants of Christ. Worshippers of Christ. Followers of Christ. In this verse that we read, He cares for us. This Christ that we worship and we follow, He cares for us. Do you ever stop and think who it is? The Creator of the universe. Christ, the Creator of the universe. Christ who made mankind. Who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who parted the Red Sea. Who led Lehi and his family across the ocean. Who directs the affairs of this world. Who on a fishing boat said to the storm, "Peace, be still." Master of the universe. That's who we serve. And that's who cares for us. We have in our grasp, we have in our midst the powers of the universe. We have the power of the universe, Jesus Christ, supreme being. That's who we worship. That's who cares for us. That's who directs our lives. That's who gives us wisdom and direction. He can do anything. He can do anything and will. He waits on us. Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1, verse 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy to God. The natural man. These people that we rub shoulders with, these people that don't have no concept of God, who don't have Christ in their lives, are the natural people of this world. They're enemies to God. They're our enemies. They're our enemies. Because they don't care about our salvation. So the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit, We submit our wills to God. We're willing to allow God to lead us. So we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint. And that's who we are. We are saints. The world doesn't like us to use that term. We don't go around bragging about it. But we're saints. We're children of God. We're followers of Christ. We're saints. Through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. We may not like it. I want to do this, Lord, but no, I want you to do this. We may not like it, but we're willing to submit. A child doesn't like it, son. Go to your room. You know, I don't want to do that. But it's the best thing for that child. We may not want to do what the Lord tells us, but it may be the best thing for us. We're willing to submit to the Lord. We do what's right because it's right, not because it's easy, not because it's what we want to do. We do what's right because it's right. We must remove sin from our life and labor to keep the commandments. Do we have sin? Let's get rid of it. Let's labor to keep the commandments. Mormon chapter 4. In the Book of Mormon chapter 4. Verse 93 and 94. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. We'll yield to no temptation. We'll remove those sins from our lives, and we will yield and serve the true and living God. We'll keep His commandments. How can we serve Him if we don't keep His commandments? We have to. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, 12 and verses 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We're alive. We're alive from the sin of this world. Once we were dead, and now we're alive. We're alive in Christ. Don't need to turn to it. This is the 58th verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We labor for the Lord, it is not in vain. We'll have eternal life. Have eternal life. Endure. We must endure. Do not lose sight of the goal. Even in our trials and in our tribulations and in all the problems and decisions that we have to make, let's not lose sight of the goal. And we have to endure to gain that goal. 3 Nephi chapter 7, verse 10. 3 Nephi 7, 10. Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure unto the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. That's the promise. If we endure to the end, we have eternal life. That doesn't mean we just make it from here to the end of our lives, you know, somehow. That means that we strive to keep His commandments, that we strive to be humble, that we strive to be submissive, that we overcome, endure. Doesn't mean we just, you know, overwhelmed with the world and we just muddle along. We have to overcome it. We endure this world. We overcome the trials. Finally, our life must bring praise and honor and glory to God. That's our life. It has to bring praise and honor and glory to God. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. Philippians 1, 10 and 11. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's our goal. That we are sincere in this gospel. That our hearts are true, our minds are true. That Christ can look at us. And we can call upon the Lord to look at our hearts and our minds. Inspect us. Are we sincere? Can we say that? Can we go to the Lord and say, look at me. Look at me. Look at my heart and look at my mind. And you'll find sincerity and you'll find righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Our lives must bring glory and praise unto God. We have to get rid of the self in our life. We have to replace self with God, with Christ. It's so easy. It's so easy sometimes to get caught up in ourselves, in our cares, in the trials of life and the burdens that we have. It's so easy. But we need to set aside self. And if we do that, if we set aside self and if we seek to serve God and if we keep His commandments, God will fulfill His desire for us. He will fulfill our lives. We were created to have joy. Part of that joy is in this life. And the greatest joy, of course, is in the life to come. I pray that God will direct our hearts, will direct our minds, will direct the very path before us. And that we'll yield to Him. That we'll give Him our hearts, we'll give Him our lives, we'll give Him total obedience. And when these trials come, don't be disheartened. Don't give up. Don't be in despair. For God knows your hearts. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows what's best for you. If we trust Him, if we trust Him, He will give us those things that are good for us. And He will fulfill many of the desires that we have, because most of the desires that we have are righteous. Are the things that are pleasing to God. And He will help us fulfill those. But let's be diligent, let's be prayerful, and let's endure to the end. Thank you.
We will close this evening with song number 259. When you find your places, will you please rise? Thank you. Let's not forget the announcements for the remainder of the week. If you bow your head to the closing prayer. Dear Father, as we come before you at the end of this day, Father, I pray that you will be with us, that you will strengthen us, that we may be able to be patient and run the race you have set before us, that we might be a precious stone in your hand. Father, I pray that you will be with those that are traveling this day, be with those in the missionary field, the many sick and afflicted. Guide and direct each one of our footsteps throughout the remaining of the week, I pray, and bring us back again to worship your holy name. And this I ask in thy son's name, in Jesus Christ. Amen.